All right, you have heard scattered showers around the area. It's just the outskirts of Hurricane Beryl, which is, some rain at this point. If you look, and I mentioned this the other day, if you look at where that storm was supposed to go and where it went, you know, we were really lucky, because if that high pressure system had moved on to the east a little more, we would have gotten that storm. All right, a lot going on today. We've been talking about the top Democrats meeting to determine whether or not they think Joe Biden should stay in the race. And a lot of Democrats are supporting Joe Biden staying in the race. I'm not a Democrat, but I think I think based on the performance and the questions about Joe Biden and the inevitability that there are going to be other things coming up, the concern about Joe Biden talking about cutting back his schedule and being in Betty by time by 8 o'clock, that just doesn't sound like somebody who is prepared to be president of the United States. Congressman Troy Carter was on CNN today supporting the president staying in the race, and former congressman and senior advisor to the DNC, Cedric Richmond, was on MSNBC supporting Biden staying in the race. But then you've got people like strategist James Carville, who says it is inevitable Biden is going to be replaced. He's going to be pushed out as the Democrat. And the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank that pushes conservative agenda, the Heritage Foundation is trying to make it extremely difficult for Democrats to change Biden in key swing states. They want Biden on the ballot. They want Trump to go against Biden because they think Trump's got a better chance of beating Biden than maybe somebody else. So we've also talked about Project 2025. It's starting to get a lot of attention, and I went through a lot of it, and I found some things that were just really disturbing, things that I thought were really darkly dangerous for America. And some of this throwback to the past, and a throwback to a time when there were even more attempts to try to tell other Americans how to lead their lives. You know, pornography has been before the Supreme Court and protected by the First Amendment. I'm not into pornography. I'm honest with you. If you are, that's fine. I mean, as long as you don't do anything wrong. Kids should not see pornography. I know that's really difficult because of the internet, but kids shouldn't be exposed to pornography. But you shouldn't criminalize pornography. And trying to stop recreational sex by banning the pill, talking about abortion bans, talking about Christianity being part of our government in terms of representing Christianity in our government. All of this stuff I thought was really scary. I wrote a blog about it. It's posted on our website, WWL.com. You can read it there. It's also posted on the SOTA Facebook page, and you can comment on it there or read it there if you want. And I'll try to get to a few more of your comments later, and I'll answer some of those comments after the show today. We have just talked about this just general issue of Biden staying in the race, and I don't think this issue is going to go away anytime soon. Kate Baldwin on CNN was asking National Security Council spokesman John Kirby about Biden wanting to be in bed by 8 o'clock, telling Democrat governors that he wants to avoid events after 8 p.m. so he can get more rest. The New York Times was the first to report this meeting between Biden and the governors. And John Kirby said he's uncomfortable talking about this. He said, I can appreciate that it may be uncomfortable, but, you know, Kate Baldwin wanted him to talk about it, but he really wanted to kind of shy away from it. And I understand that. I mean, it's a 24-hour a day job, and John Kirby certainly knows that. You know, once again, we're without phones. We hope to get them back soon. There were some people, some specialists here working earlier today, trying to find out exactly what the problem is, and they have made progress. So in the meantime, the way we communicate is through our Oakland Heart text line, 504-260-1870. And you can also send me a message, Scoot on the Air Facebook. And if you haven't joined me there, I hope you will become part of our little family on Facebook and comment on what we post. And I encourage you to also maybe comment on some of the comments, because they're kind of interesting. But anyway, all of that's going on, Scoot on the Air. Facebook. Let me see if there are a couple of messages. Here's a message sent. It says, this is from Barry. It says, I'm not a MAGA. I am for what Trump brought to us, lowest unemployment, lowest gas prices, energy independence, secure border, simple as that. Here is another message from Mark that says Fox is just much media. Oh, it's just as much media as you are. Now you blank the propaganda networks have been caught lying to America about. I don't know what that means, because what have I lied about? I mean, I hear people say, well, you lie. Well, I challenge you. What have I lied about? I mean, you can't say somebody's a liar without being specific about what they lied about. What did I lie about? So, you know, send me a message or send it to the Oakenheart text line. I mean, that's just such a cheap cop-out. Oh, you lie. Okay, well, tell me what I lied about. You might disagree with my opinions, but it doesn't mean that those opinions are based on lies. My opinions are based on facts. All right, Ian Hoke has got some more text messages for us. Oh, that's right. We got to do the text off results. Okay, so I get so wrapped up in the show sometimes I forget what we have to do. The text off today was between two songs with the same name, Stay With Me. They were Stay With Me by Sam Smith, and they were Stay With Me by Rod Stewart and Faces. Now, Faces did it with Rod Stewart as the lead singer. The version of Stay With Me we played was Rod Stewart singing Stay With Me. Both songs, same title. Which was the better song, Stay With Me, Sam Smith, or Stay With Me, Rod Stewart? Ian said it was really, really close, but Rod Stewart won in a very, very close one. So thank all of you for participating in that. We'll have another text off next Tuesday. Okay, let's do a couple of texts.
Here's a text that says, Trump's policy for 2016 was that he was building the wall, but it never got done because he's all BS. The two motivators for his voters are greed and fear. Maybe he decided not to build the wall so that he can continue saying the illegals are stealing black jobs, raping and killing women and children, etc. So when he ran in 2020, they decided they'd have no platform. Their platform and his platform is just him. It's Trump. What will it take for folks to see that he is a megalomaniac psychopath?
Wow. Well, look, let me ask this question. If building the wall was so important, why isn't Donald Trump talking about it now? Why isn't he saying, hey, you know what? I didn't finish it. I'm going to finish it. Why is he not talking about finishing the wall? That just occurred to me that there's a whole vacuum here when it comes to the wall. If the wall was really going to be that effective and that good, why isn't he talking about it now? Give me another chance. I'll finish that wall. I'll tell you why. Because the wall was not going to be as effective as he thought it was going to be. And because the whole idea of Mexico paying for it was a farce from the beginning, but he convinced gullible voters that he was going to really build the wall. He'd build buildings. And so the concept was, if he can build buildings, he can build a wall. He didn't build the wall. Some parts of it went up, but it wasn't finished. But he's not even talking about finishing it now.
Stephen in Biloxi is listening today and says, hey, guys, neither God nor Jesus wrote the Bible. But that doesn't stop right-wing conservative Christian nationalists from following that. I'm just saying.
No, it's true. Man wrote the Bible. And man wrote the Bible many, 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 many years after Christ died. So, you know, maybe a few of the stories got a little convoluted over those years.
I think Stephen has drawn a parallel here as well, that just because Trump didn't write Project 25 doesn't mean he's not going to try to implement it, or he's going to stop people from trying to put it into action.
That's a good point. And I've never said and never suggested that Trump wrote Project 2025, but it was created for Donald Trump by Donald Trump people. And the Heritage Foundation is representing Donald Trump in this race and pushing conservative agenda. And the Heritage Foundation published this with the creation of other people putting it all together. They published this, and they're backing it. And look, this has got Trump's fingerprints all over it. So make no mistake about that. The Project 2025 is Donald Trump's plan if he gets reelected.
You know, we said in the last hour that Donald Trump wasn't ever really a policy guy, wasn't an idea guy. I think maybe we should correct that a little bit, because he did have some ideas. He had some ideas like, you can put a light bulb up your butt to clear yourself of COVID, or inject bleach to get rid of COVID, or maybe you can fire a nuclear missile at Hurricane Dorian to stop it from crashing into Alabama. He's got ideas.
That's right. He did.
Here's a text that says, you are not a true conservative if you are trying to involve government more in our lives.
Well, that is an absolute fact. You know, the one of the basic foundations of conservative ideology is power to the individual and less government. You cannot, you are not a true conservative if you want the government involved in personal lives of people. If you want the government to ban pornography, if you want the government to discriminate against homosexuals and LGBTQ people, you cannot be a true conservative if you're for the government being involved in those things.
It's very weird that you would say, you know, the government has the right to be in the room when your wife or daughter is having a discussion about whether or not her, you know, pregnancy is going to kill her. You don't think that's you think it's good for the government to be there, but you don't think it's a good idea for the government to, you know, tell you when the oil refinery in your neighborhood has had a toxic leak, or, you know, it's not okay for the FDA to tell you how much lead is in your kid's juice box. Like, you can't kind of have it both ways, can you?
Yeah. I mean, look, there are functions of the government, and there are so many people. The hypocrisy is everywhere. I mean, there's so many people who criticize anybody who depends on the government. But let me tell you, if there's a flood and there's government assistance out there, the same people who are critical of people who use the government are grabbing that money.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, would you like to take a ride in Biden's Corvette with him behind the wheel? You could make Ian go for that. It'd be good radio show content.
No, I'm not getting in a car with Biden. I mean, I'd be the first to take the car keys away from Biden. Biden shouldn't be driving.
Well, maybe he wouldn't drive very fast. You know, maybe if we're just going to, like, you know, drive around on the South Lawn a little bit, I think I could be down for that. Do I want to go get on the Beltway and, you know, zip on over to Delaware? Probably not.
You think I'm going to hit I-95 in that thing?
Yeah.
With him behind the wheel? No way.
But the texter is right. That's good content.
Yeah. All right. If you want to join us, the Okunhart text line is 504-260-1870. On the SOTA rock culture calendar, on this day in 1956, at the age of 26, Dick Clark began one of the longest runs in hosting a television series when he debuted as host of Bandstand on a TV station in Philadelphia. The show eventually was picked up by ABC TV and would be changed to American Bandstand. And I used to come home from school every afternoon and watch American Bandstand in black and white. And I just so wanted to be on that show. I thought the people on that show were so cool. The couples were so cool. And they danced. And, you know, I just thought that that would have been the coolest thing ever. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the SOTA rock culture calendar, it was on this day in 1988 that Cheap Trick really made a comeback. You know, they hadn't had hits since the 70s, and on this day in 1988, this song, The Flame, went to number one, and it really just generated more interest in Cheap Trick. And I saw them, not this past year, but the year before, 2 years ago, at Gretna Fest. And, you know, Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen, I mean, these guys still look great. And I've had a chance to see them and talk to them a couple of times. And it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, one of our great local memories is, or common memories is, having, being backstage with Cheap Trick at the House of Blues. And Courtney Love was back there, and she was, to say the least, she was kind of a mess. Hey, I once asked Rick Nielsen about this image that he used to have of this, like, maniac guitar genius. It was almost like cartoonish. And I said, is that really who you are?
I never wanted to be anybody else. I don't know that I wanted to be me, but I never wanted to be anybody else. And it's like, you know, I would look wrong with a cucumber wrapped in tinfoil in my pants and wearing gold lamé and my mother's makeup. You know, it's like that was not what I was. And, you know, Robin, you just, you know, I care about Robin's voice. Sure, he looks great, but it's like, you know, it's the voice and the musicianship. It was never about, we were never trying to be, all right, you know, if we get this good-looking guy, you know, this will be good. And, well, can he sing? It doesn't matter. You know, no. The musicianship of Cheap Trick always came first.
Yeah, and Robin Zander can still hit those high notes. All right, so Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs a law that allows religious chaplains in public schools. Satan worshipers in Florida say that they're going to try and fill those positions. This is the door you open when you bring Christianity into the classroom. And, you know, we warned Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry about this, but his mandate to put the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom might invite this sort of thing. I mean, is it worth it? Is it worth it to have Christian chaplains in school if you open the door for Satan worshipers to go in there too? Is it worth it? I mean, this is what happens. This is the result of opening public school classrooms to Christianity. And, you know, we're hearing more and more about Christian nationalism. And it seems to be really picking up in the last week or so, the more attention that's being brought to Project 2025. I mean, Project 2025 has a lot in it about Christian nationalism and making Christianity something that the government pushes, something that is just infesting every aspect of the government. And, you know, you can be a great Christian without the government pushing Christianity. The government doesn't need to push Christianity. That's for you and your church. And I think there should be a separation there. So I think this is going to kind of backfire because Lucian Graves, who is the co-founder and spokesperson for the Satanic Temple, said in a statement on Monday that says that they're going to use their First Amendment rights and they're going to try to fill these positions. And I mean, what if they sneak in there? What if they pretend to be Christians, but they're really Satan worshipers? This is the kind of door that Ron DeSantis opens by saying, yes, we're going to put Christians in the schools. If you want to send your kids to a religious school, if you can afford it, then do it. If you can't, you know, just teach your kids Christianity at home. I don't think this is something that needs to be left up to the schools. And the Satanic Temple has, you know, been part of this fight for freedom of religion in public schools for a long time through the establishment of the after-school Satan clubs. And so let's say a school has a Christian club. Well, they go in and say, okay, if you can have a Christian club, we can have a Satan club. I mean, is it worth it? Is it worth it to have a Christian club, to have a Satan club as well? I don't think you open the door. And I think it's really simple to just say religion doesn't belong in public schools. If you have a comment, the Oakenheart text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. And also, by the way, a Parkinson's doctor told NBC that Biden has the classic features of the disease. And he said, I could have diagnosed him from across the mall. And they're talking about the mall in Washington, D.C., not Lakeside or Oakwood Mall. He said, I see him... I see him on television, and I can diagnose him without being in the same room that he has the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. Again, I'm passing this information on. I'm not saying that Biden has Parkinson's disease. All right, let's go to Ian with a few of your text messages.
Here is a text that says, I am pro-life, but there is a small window that I will accept for women to get an abortion, and that is in the first 6 weeks. After that, all bets are off unless it is truly life-threatening, and I think 99% of people who are pro-life are okay with an abortion if it's life-threatening, but the Democrats make it sound like conservatives are not for saving the mother if her life is threatened by a pregnancy in the later stages, which is a lie.
No, well, that is it's a misrepresentation of the masses, but don't underestimate the number of conservatives that are for a ban on abortion, period. And that is a mentality that infects the Republican Party. Not all Republicans are for that, but there are a lot of Republicans who are for that. Even in the case of rape, they argue that the female has to have the baby of the person who raped them.
This is not some like wild Democrat conspiracy rumor mill thing. This is in Project 2025. It says no abortions, no exceptions. If your 8-month-old fetus is going to kill you, too bad. F you. You're out of luck. That nobody is handing that to the conservatives and saying, we're just trying to make you look bad here. That's the Heritage Foundation is the leading conservative advocacy policy shop in the country. And they've got it right down there. It's in a bullet point right in the middle of that 900-page document that says if your baby is going to kill you and an abortion would save your life, you're going to die. Yeah. That's what they desire
for
you.
Wait, you're a conservative and you want the government to make that decision? That defies conservative ideology. And really, check out my blog about Project 2025. Everything in there is the truth. It's not my opinion. Everything in there is the truth. And you should be scared.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, as you're listing all this crazy bullet points from Project 2025, I can tell you're hoping this latest paranoia of spaghetti sticks to the wall, which I would send that back if I got that at a restaurant.
Yeah.
What scares me is that one's immense hate for somebody will allow one to believe anything and everything that would paint that hated person in the most negative light.
I have never said I hated Donald Trump. I do not hate Donald Trump. I hate some of the things that he stands for. But as a person, I don't know Donald Trump and I don't hate him. But I'm going to be honest about it. And if being honest about Donald Trump means that you think I hate Donald Trump, then that's on you. It's not on me.
Here's a text. Uh-oh, this one's about the Satan. Aha. Here's a text that says, you act like Satanism is just another religion. It's not. It's BS. It's just a reaction to real religion. So you can allow religious stuff while not allowing Satanist stuff. No, that's not hypocritical. Satanism is BS.
Well, that's your opinion. I mean, there are people who think religion is BS. There are atheists who think Christianity is BS. And so the argument is, yes, I mean, to some people, Satanism is a religion. It is their religion. That reflects their religious beliefs. Satan is in the Bible, right? I mean, Satan is part of religion, and Satanism is a religious conviction. I'm not an expert on Satanism, but in general, it's a religious conviction.
So if let's take the texter's point here just to kind of as a thought exercise. If Satanism is not a religion, who decides that?
Well, that's the problem.
The government. So now you've got the government deciding what's a real religion and what's not. And that seems untoward. That seems like not a very First Amendment-y kind of thing to do.
Right. And then when you also get to the other religions, there are going to be those right-wing conservatives, right-wing radicals, who are going to say that being a Muslim is being evil, and look at what's in the Quran, and so you're not allowed. So again, once you allow Christianity in the schools, and I'm a Christian, but once you allow it in the schools, I think you open the door for a lot of different things to happen. Let me remind you that WWL Dudley DeBosier Injury Lawyers want you to throw your fours up. You know, 444-4444. You got a chance to win four tickets to every Saints home game by going to WWL and listening and tuning in the 8 o'clock hour, the 11 o'clock hour, 2 o'clock hour, and 5 o'clock hour. You need to collect all four keywords of the day. And you collect those and go to our website, WWL.com/contest with an S, and use those four words to register to win. A lot of people are not going to go to the, a lot of people are, but maybe not everybody's going to go to this trouble. So that's why I encourage you to do this. And the code word, the keyword this hour is Saints. Saints with an S. So collect all four words and go to our website, WWL.com. Throw your fours up and win the season pack of four tickets for every home game from Dudley DeBosier Injury Lawyers and WWL. All right, let's see. It was on this day in 2000. This was the number one song in the country. I thought this band Vertical Horizon, I thought they had a lot of potential. I thought they were going to go a little further, but I didn't hear that much from them. But I thought this was kind of a cool song from the 2000s. All right, I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, while she was 13 years old in 1996, LeAnn Rimes released her debut album, Blue. It contained this song, One Way Ticket, Because I Can. She was actually 11 years old when she recorded the country ballad, Blue. And this song, again, was part of her debut album, released in 1996. I saw her a couple of years ago at Family Graw. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of people have performed there. All right, the Florida beaches are a buffet for sharks. Recently, there were the shark attacks at South Padre Island, Texas, and now there's a report of three people in shallow water in Texas, about 15 miles south of Daytona Beach. A 21-year-old man, a 26-year-old man, and a 15-year-old boy, all bitten by sharks. And Florida is, once again, the shark capital of the United States. They were designated that in 2023 last year. They had the most shark attacks of any other state. It's interesting when these sharks attack. And I think it's all part of promoting. The sharks come together. The sharks like the way the Discovery Channel gives them publicity during Shark Week. And Shark Week is going on right now. So if you notice right before Shark Week and during Shark Week, sharks attack. And it's their way of paying back the Discovery Channel for all the attention that they get. And so they just get together and attack people, and it just brings a lot of attention to it. And you hear these stories on these. Sometimes I sit back and watch at least a little bit of Shark Attack almost every night, or Shark Week almost every night. And it's just amazing the people who survive these shark attacks. And, you know, the movie Jaws really did just bring us face to face with the reality of, like, this really mean shark that is attacking people. And you know, I remember seeing that in the movie theater when it first came out. And I remember the theater was really quiet and the music was playing. And the shark was about to attack somebody, but the buildup was really, really slow. And this woman sitting right in front of me broke the silence with, "Will you just attack her?" It was just crazy. But man, that movie caused a lot of people to think twice about going in the water. All right, there is a new poll out showing that Trump is dominating Biden in key swing states. As the president runs a whopping 12 points behind a state Dem Senate candidate. So most of the polls nationally show, and even in many of the swing states, show it a statistical tie. And it's kind of surprising that Biden's performance at the debate didn't do more to really destroy his poll numbers. There was an uptick for Donald Trump after that in some polls, and some of them stayed the same. And look, I can tell you this. You don't know who's going to win. You can think you know, but you don't know who's going to win the election. It could be Biden if he is the candidate. It could be Trump. But people on both sides should be concerned, because there is no guarantee that your candidate is going to win. You may be sure of it because of what you believe, but you don't know who's going to win this. And boy, some people on one side are going to be really upset when their candidate loses in November. All right, Ian, you got a couple of text messages for us?
Yeah, I was just going over one that, let's see, where did it go here? Give me just a second. Yeah, this text message says, "Hey, every time I hear you bring up something about abortion, I text you about the fact that there are 11 states that have no gestation plan in regards to abortion, and that means a child can be aborted all the way up to delivery. I never hear you say anything about that. Several other states have gestation going into the third trimester."
We have talked about that.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
We've talked about that. We've talked about that many, many times.
It's impossible to have a conversation about abortion without mentioning that.
So, again, you know, try to pay attention to the show and don't assume that I think there are people who assume that if we talk about this, we never talk about that. And that's not the case. It doesn't mean that we always get it right or we always talk about this and that. But I think quite often there is this assumption that if you're talking about this, you're missing this other part. And that's really not the case much of the time. So, you know, listen to the show before you're quick to criticize.
And to the texter's point about these 11 states that have this, you know, allow abortion all the way up to the time of delivery, does this texter imagine that the number of abortions performed in that state are equally distributed over each of the 9 months of pregnancy? No, of course not. That's stupid. Women only get abortions in the late trimester when it's going to kill them if they don't. The amount of abortions that happen that are late term abortions, like the day before, that never happens. It's a stupid lie. It never happens. And if it does happen, it happens in a profoundly statistically insignificant amount.
Right. And Donald Trump lied during the debate when he said the Democrats. He made it seem like a baby's born. It's like sitting there, lying there on the table, and the Democrats say that, you know, they're deciding, well, do we want to let this baby live or we just want to kill it? That is not happening. It's not happening. And you can buy in, you can be brainwashed with all the information that you've been told. You can buy into any of that BS, but it's bogus. It's happening because the life of the mother is at stake here. And that's not for the government to decide. It's not for you to decide. That is for the parents to decide.
If you are out here believing that women get abortions when they're 8 months pregnant because they decide they no longer want to be pregnant, I'm pleading with you to change the channel. Whatever media you are consuming is making you dumb. I don't know how a person that believes that a woman would decide to have her baby murdered after she's given birth to it, like that's some sort of Democratic policy prescription. I don't know how you tie your shoes in the morning. I don't know how you write a grocery list. Like, your brain is broken, man.
Yeah, a lot of people's brains are broken, and they're brainwashed. I mean, they're totally brainwashed with nonsensical stuff. It's just not. It's not true. But, you know, they believe it. And people are so reluctant to ever admit that they were wrong about something they accepted as true. All right, look, if you're going to the beaches, you know, be careful. And I remind you of this one interesting statistic. Sharks do not attack attorneys out of professional courtesy. I'm Scoot. And we'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, and Steve Geller. And also, download the latest episode of Inside Black and Gold. It's the podcast with sports director Steve Geller and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Check it out, Inside Black and Gold. It's available wherever you get your podcast. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Ian Ozan, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. All right. Wow. She was 13 years old in 1996. LeAnn Rimes released her debut album, Blue. It contained this song, One Way Ticket, Because I Can. She was actually 11 years old when she recorded the country ballad, Blue. And this song, again, was part of her debut album, released in 1996. I saw her a couple of years ago at Family Graw. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of people have performed there. All right, the Florida beaches are a buffet for sharks. Recently, there were the shark attacks at South Padre Island, Texas, and now there's a report of three people in shallow water in Texas, about 15 miles south of Daytona Beach. A 21-year-old man, a 26-year-old man, and a 15-year-old boy, all bitten by sharks. And Florida is, once again, the shark capital of the United States. They were designated that in 2023 last year. They had the most shark attacks of any other state. It's interesting when these sharks attack. And I think it's all part of promoting. The sharks come together. The sharks like the way the Discovery Channel gives them publicity during Shark Week. And Shark Week is going on right now. So if you notice, right before Shark Week and during Shark Week, sharks attack. And it's their way of paying back the Discovery Channel for all the attention that they get. And so they just get together and attack people, and it just brings a lot of attention to it. And you hear these stories on these. Sometimes I sit back and watch at least a little bit of shark attack almost every night, or Shark Week almost every night. And it's just amazing the people who survive these shark attacks. And, you know, the movie Jaws really did just bring us face to face with the reality of, like, this really mean shark that is attacking people. And you know, I remember seeing that in the movie theater when it first came out. And I remember the theater was really quiet and the music was playing. And the shark was about to attack somebody, but the buildup was really, really slow. And this woman sitting right in front of me broke the silence with, "Will you just attack her?" It was just crazy. But man, that movie caused a lot of people to think twice about going in the water. All right, there is a new poll out showing that Trump is dominating Biden in key swing states. As the president runs a whopping 12 points behind a state Dem Senate candidate. So most of the polls nationally show, and even in many of the swing states, show it a statistical tie. And it's kind of surprising that Biden's performance at the debate didn't do more to really destroy his poll numbers. There was an uptick for Donald Trump after that in some polls, and some of them stayed the same. And look, I can tell you this. You don't know who's going to win. You can think you know, but you don't know who's going to win the election. It could be Biden if he is the candidate. It could be Trump. But people on both sides should be concerned, because there is no guarantee that your candidate is going to win. You may be sure of it because of what you believe, but you don't know who's going to win this. And boy, some people on one side are going to be really upset when their candidate loses in November. All right, Ian, you got a couple of text messages for us?
Yeah, I was just going over one that, let's see, where did it go here? Give me just a second. Yeah, this text message says, "Hey, every time I hear you bring up something about abortion, I text you about the fact that there are 11 states that have no gestation plan in regards to abortion, and that means a child can be aborted all the way up to delivery. I never hear you say anything about that. Several other states have gestation going into the third trimester."
We have talked about that.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
We've talked about that. We've talked about that many, many times.
It's impossible to have a conversation about abortion without mentioning that.
So, again, you know, try to pay attention to the show and don't assume that we, you know, I think there are people who assume that if we talk about this, we never talk about that. And that's not the case. It doesn't mean that we always get it right or we always talk about this and that. But I think quite often there is this assumption that if you're talking about this, you're missing this other part. And that's really not the case much of the time. So, you know, listen to the show before you're quick to criticize.
And to the texter's point about these 11 states that have this, you know, allow abortion all the way up to the time of delivery, does this texter imagine that the number of abortions performed in that state are equally distributed over each of the 9 months of pregnancy? No, of course not. That's stupid. Women only get abortions in the late trimester when it's going to kill them if they don't. The amount of abortions that happen that are late term abortions, like, oh, the day before, that never happens. It's a stupid lie. It never happens. And if it does happen, it happens in a profoundly statistically insignificant amount.
Right. And Donald Trump lied during the debate when he said the Democrats, he made it seem like a baby's born. It's like sitting there, lying there on the table, and the Democrats say that, you know, they're deciding, well, do we want to let this baby live or we just want to kill it? That is not happening. It's not happening. And you can buy in, you can be brainwashed with all the information that you've been told. You can buy into any of that BS, but it's bogus. It's happening because the life of the mother is at stake here. And that's not for the government to decide. It's not for you to decide. That is for the parents to decide.
If you are out here believing that women get abortions when they're 8 months pregnant because they decide they no longer want to be pregnant, I'm pleading with you to change the channel. Whatever media you are consuming is making you dumb. I don't know how a person that believes that a woman would decide to have her baby murdered after she's given birth to it, like that's some sort of Democratic policy prescription. I don't know how you tie your shoes in the morning. I don't know how you write a grocery list. Like, your brain is broken, man.
Yeah, a lot of people's brains are broken, and they're just, they're brainwashed. I mean, they're totally brainwashed with nonsensical stuff. It's just not, it's not true. But, you know, they believe it. And people are so reluctant to ever admit that they were wrong about something they accepted as true. All right, look, if you're going to the beaches, you know, be careful. And I remind you of this one interesting statistic. Sharks do not attack attorneys out of professional courtesy. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Aver, Mike Dettillier, and Steve Geller. And also, download the latest episode of Inside Black and Gold. It's the podcast with sports director Steve Geller and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Check it out, Inside Black and Gold. It's available wherever you get your podcast. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Ian Ozan, traffic with Joe Cardozzi. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby Aver, Mike Dettillier, and Steve Geller. And also, download the latest episode of Inside Black and Gold. It's the podcast with sports director Steve Geller and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Check it out, Inside Black and Gold. It's available wherever you get your podcast. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Ian Ozan, traffic with Joe Cardozzi. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.